Okay. Hey man, now we're ready. I don't know how you view 2023. We all got different views of 2023. You went through 2023 in one way, and I went through 2023 in another way. So our perspective on 2023 might be different. It is different. It is different. It is different. But now we're in a new year. From my perspective, 2023 for me was a year of spiritual growth. And I could tell that I grew spiritually in 2023. God really changed my attitude and thinking about a lot of things, and it needed to change. I'm no longer striving, but trusting. Some things that bothered me are no longer an issue. And I hope that's the same thing for some of you. Some things in 2023 that I went into 2023 with that bother me are now no longer an issue. And they're no longer an issue because I learned in 2023 to trust God in the midst of that issue, to give it to Him. Yeah, to give it to Him. So now I don't have that issue anymore. When you look back on your life in 2023, I hope you see blessings and spiritual growth. I hope you do. Kind of take a moment and reflect back on 2023. And can you see any spiritual blessings and growth in 2023? Amen. Amen. I was praying at the beginning of our Zoom service on Sunday night, December the 31st, 2023. And I heard myself say that 2024, I was praying. I hadn't thought about this, but while I was praying, I heard myself say that 2024 would be a year of promises fulfilled. Promises fulfilled. So I'm looking for 2024, this year we're in right now, to be a year where God fulfilled promises that He's given us that have not yet been fulfilled. I didn't plan to say it, nor did I think it before I said it. But I will just, when I pray, I listen to the Holy Spirit, and whatever Holy Spirit says, that's what comes out. I don't know what God has promised you, but I do know what He's promised me, and I do know what's in His Word. One thing about God's promises, every promise in the Word of God is for us in the new covenant. In the new covenant through Jesus Christ, every promise of God is what? For us. So there are some promises that are universal for the church. That means all of us have been promised that. But then God has also given us what? Individual promises. Individual promises. And I thank God for that. And the subject for today is going to be releasing your faith. Releasing your faith. Because without faith and releasing that faith, whatever promise that God wants to fulfill for us in 2024, it cannot be fulfilled unless what? We release our faith in that area. We got to release our faith for it. Because without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. I think that's Hebrews 11, 6. It's impossible to please God, what? Without faith. So it takes faith to release the promises of God when we release our faith for those promises. And this is something I heard, and I had not thought this way. But did you know that in heaven we have cheerleaders? You know how you go to a football game, you got cheerleaders to cheer you on. Basketball game, they got cheerleaders. And what do cheerleaders do? Cheerleaders give you encouragement to keep on playing, to keep on going, even though you might feel like quitting or stopping or slowing down. You might be tired and can't go no more. But those cheerleaders on the sideline are cheering you and giving you the encouragement you need to keep on going. So we have heaven cheerleaders. I heard someone say recently that Jesus had revealed to him that no one in heaven, not the Father, not Jesus, not the Holy Spirit, nor the angels, ever see us failing and not succeeding. In fact, all the saints that went before us are also cheering us on. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Now let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And while you're going to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I want to say this. In Hebrews 11, Read about what people accomplished by faith. They call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Fame of faith, because in Hebrews 11, it keeps saying that this person accomplished this by faith. This one did this by faith. You know, Abraham and Sarah conceived the child by faith. You know, everything was by faith. And then we go to Hebrews 12, 1, the very next chapter in Hebrews. And then it says this, therefore. Therefore means, okay, it's because we just talked about this in the last chapter. So therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which do so easily, which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are surrounded by so what? Great a cloud of witnesses. And what are those witnesses doing? They are cheering us on. They're in heaven saying, go, 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 Donnie, you can make it. You can do it. Kay, you can do it. Mary, you can do it. You can do it. We can do it. And Lonnie, you can do it too. So we have cheerleaders cheering us on in heaven. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. And then the next verse in Hebrews says, you know, since you're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these people that are cheering you on, they've already by faith accomplished what God called them to do. They already by faith have made it into glory. So that, and they're looking at us and saying, okay, now you got a better covenant than we had. Now, what are you going to do? You know, so the word of God encourages us, okay, what you need to what? Lay aside every weight, whatever's weighing you down, whatever's keeping you from running the race, whatever's hindering you, you need to get rid of that thing so you can run your race with endurance. And then what does the next verse say? Looking unto Jesus. You can't run the race without looking to Jesus. You can't accomplish anything by faith without looking to Jesus. Because what? He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. If we look to him, then we will receive what we need to finish this race, to get our promises in 2024 fulfilled. I don't know about you, but I've been praying for something a long time, and I want those promises fulfilled. But I can't look at myself. I can't look at my abilities. I can't look at my past experiences. I can't look at failure. I can't look at what other people might be saying or doing. I have to look to Jesus. If I want my promises fulfilled, I got to look to the Lord. When I look to him, he perfects my faith. He ignites my faith. He encourages me. He gives me what I need to keep on going as I look to him. And the Bible says, what did Jesus do? Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When I read that verse, I said, okay, Jesus, you didn't concentrate on the cross. You didn't concentrate on the pain and the suffering. That's not what you focus on. You focus on the fact that on the other side of the cross, on the other side of the resurrection, he saw you, he saw me. And it gave him joy. He knew that this suffering that I'm going through, it's going to bring many sons and daughters into the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's going to bring many to deliverance. It's going to bring many into to the kingdom of God. Many are going to be born again. They're going to know me as Lord and Savior. And they're going to go out and what? And continue to destroy the works of the enemy. That's what he focused on. That's what it looked like. And that's what he did. In other words, when Jesus was on the cross, he looked and he saw you and he saw me. He saw us and it gave him joy. He saw us. I'm about to think, I want to think this, and it's probably true because God is God. He saw every one of us and it gave him joy. And so he was able to endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him, and that joy was you and me. It was you and me. It was you and me. So do you realize that God sees you? God sees you. You might not think about it then on a daily basis, but God sees you. So in order to continue to release our faith so that our promises can be fulfilled, you need to know that God sees you. He doesn't turn away in our weaknesses. He doesn't turn away in our sin. He doesn't turn away when we're having a hard time with something. He doesn't just look at us when we're doing good or we are successful or accomplished a thing. He sees us. He sees the pain. He sees the struggle. He sees whatever we're going through, God sees it and God knows it. But when God sees us, even though he looks at you in the pain, he looks at you in everything you're going through, guess what God sees? He doesn't see you for failing. He sees you succeeding. He sees you getting that promotion. He sees your bill being paid. He sees you overcoming every weakness and every weight and every sin. He sees your body heal. You might still be in pain. You might not look like you're healed, but when God looks at you, he sees you and he sees your body heal. He sees you well. He sees you. He sees you as strong and not weak. He actually sees you as an overcomer. He sees you as how Jesus went through everything to accomplish you to be. That's what he sees. That's what he sees. And the problem is, a lot of times, we're not seeing the same way God sees. We're not seeing ourselves the same way he sees us. We're not seeing our situation the same way he sees it. We're not seeing what we're supposed to be seeing. And you know what? I kind of believe the Bible is written so that we could start seeing the way God sees. What a world we would have. What a person we would be if we saw everything, every situation as God sees it. Wouldn't it be much easier to release our faith if we saw things the way God saw it? So many times we're focused on what? We're focused on what our natural mind sees. Our natural thoughts are. We're so focused on our natural, what our natural eyes see, what our natural ears hear, what our body feels. We're focused on that. But that's not what we're supposed to be focused on. We should be focused on, okay, God, I want to see what you're seeing. And the word of God was written so we could see what God is seeing. We could, by faith, see what God is seeing. You might not feel like a son. You might not think you're acting like a son, but God sees you if you're born again as a son. He sees you as a daughter. He says, you're my son. You're my daughter. Because Jesus was crucified and you received him, and now you are my son. You are my daughter. And I see you exactly the way that I created you to be. I see you the way my son has given his life up for you to be. And he rose again so that we could rise in victory. We have all these stories of what happened when people saw things God's way and what happened when they didn't. So I think one of the reasons we have the Bible is so we can see spiritually. I mean, I don't need the Bible to see what the world is doing. All I got to do is look. And if you got a television, and we all do, turn the television on, you'll see everything the world is doing. We were talking about that before service started, how the schools are changing the textbooks. And I saw a clip that Andrew sent about this couple. They sent their daughter to school. They moved in a new neighborhood. They researched the neighborhood, thought it was a good neighborhood, thought it was a good school. Sitting their daughter was there. It was middle school. Matter of fact, I think it was her first year of middle school. And the daughter went to a class that was labeled art club. It was an extracurricular activity after school, and it was art club. And the daughter went to the art club, but it really wasn't an art club. There was nothing wrong with the daughter when she went to the club. She knew who she was. She didn't need nobody to tell her who she was. She was a little girl. She knew she was a little girl. But in the art club, they told her she was something else. They told her she was transgender. So it really wasn't an art club. It was really a sexual orientation club. So you might as well call it what it was. And I didn't give the parents a chance to see whether they want to send their child or not send their child. But so you don't have to go very far to see what the world is doing. Open up your eyes, your ears. You see what way the world is going. You see that. You see that. But you need the word of God to see what God is doing. You need the word. You need the word. The word will tell you anything and everything about what they're doing and who you are. They'll tell you you ain't nothing. Look, sometimes they say you ain't nothing. Your mama won't nothing. Your daddy won't nothing. And you ain't gonna never be nothing. But that's not what God says. That's not what the word of God says. And that's not how God sees you. We need to start seeing people the way God sees people. How does God see people? He sees them totally different than what they see themselves sometimes. A lot of times people are calling themselves way things that God is not calling them because they don't see themselves the way God sees them. And we can't release our faith for the promises of God fulfilled in 2024 without seeing the way God sees. We got to see the way he sees. We got to see God, see the way God sees. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. We just went over that in the different translation, but I want to just read what the Passion Translation said about Hebrews 12:1, 2, and 3. We have this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on so that we can release our faith the way they did. Hebrews 12:1 says this in the Passion Translation. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has been already marked before us. We look away from the natural realm. Remember, we look away from the natural realm. And we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who what? Who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this. Because his heart was so focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation. And now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. Oh my goodness. Life pressures will try its best to get to you. It will try to get you to cave in by what? Focusing on the pressure rather than focusing on Jesus. But you focus on Jesus. You don't focus on life pressures. You don't focus on the things that life is throwing at you, trying to get you defeated. You focus on Jesus. We will never see the promises of 2024 fulfilled unless we focus on Jesus. We won't be able to release our faith unless we focus on Jesus. And it's so easy to focus on everything else. It's so easy. It's so easy because we're bombarded with thoughts. We're bombarded with emotions. We're bombarded with what people say we ought to do and how people say we ought to be. But unless we focus our minds and our thoughts on Jesus, we will not see our promises fulfilled in 2024. Let's look at Romans 10:4. Romans 10:4. God gave us Christ's righteousness. Every born again believer now is righteous in Christ Jesus. God gave us that. It's a grace gift. It's not something you work for, but it's something you receive. You receive it. You receive it. Romans 10:4 says this. I'm going to do the Passion Translation for Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law. And because of him, God has transferred his perfect righteousness to all who believe. All who believe, God has given us what? Perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness. So we don't go to God based on our performance. We don't go to God based on how well we live today or how good we did today. We don't go to God on the basis of our trying to be perfect or walking in perfection. We go to God based on the fact that we have been given what? The perfect righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been made righteous in Christ. We've been made righteous. And that righteousness don't come and go. Salvation don't come and go. Righteousness don't come and go. Righteousness is yours. It's given you. You are righteous today, tomorrow, and forever. You are righteous forever because as long as you got Christ, you are. You are righteous. God has given us that perfect righteousness. When you believed on Jesus and received him, you received perfect righteousness. You became right with God and could stand before him as if you never sinned. Christ's perfect righteousness was transferred to you. That's not all. Everything that now belongs to Christ, Jesus belongs to you. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. We are what? Joint heirs with Christ. Everything he accomplished for you has been placed in your account. Think about it this way. Everybody here probably has a bank account. You take your money to the bank and you put your money in the bank. You don't put your money in the bank and then expect the bank to keep you from your money. You put your money in the bank so the bank can keep it safe. And then when you want your money, you go to the bank, you get it out. Well, think about it this way. Everything in Christ has been given to us. We've already got it, like Andrew said. It's been placed in our account with Christ. He's given us everything. And it's there for us. But it takes us what? Releasing our faith to draw it out. Every promise God has already given, it's already been fulfilled in the spiritual realm. It's just out here we're waiting for the fulfillment. But in God's eyes, what? It's already fulfilled. And by faith, what? We take our faith, release that faith for every promise, and then that promise gets fulfilled in this realm. All of us have had promises God has already fulfilled. We know that. And so we have many more that we want God to fulfill. It might be healing. It might be a new job. It might be deliverance. Whatever, we're waiting and wanting, but it's going to take our faith to release that promise. Because really, we have already got it. So right now, everything is yours in Christ. And it has been yours since the moment you were born again. It was yours. The moment you were born again, the moment you got born again, the moment you accepted Christ, everything in Christ was yours. All the freedom, all the deliverance, whatever you needed was already in Christ the moment you got reborn again. So how do we release our faith? How do we release our faith so that we can see our promises fulfilled? We want our promises fulfilled. We want them fulfilled in this realm, okay? Let me make that straight. We want our promises fulfilled in this realm because in the spiritual realm, what? They're already there. They're already fulfilled. But we all know there's a difference in this realm and the spiritual realm. It's in the spiritual realm, but I know it's there. I believe it's there because the Word of God said so. But I can't enjoy it. I can't possess it until it comes over what? In this physical realm. It's got to come over here for me to enjoy it. We know that by his stripes we're healed, but if your body is sick, you want that healing where? Thank God it's in the spiritual. Got to be there first before you get it in the natural. It's there, but I only can enjoy it when it comes and actually manifest in my body in this realm. You know, if you're, like Donna said, sometimes shoulders hurting. If his shoulder's hurting, you know, it's okay. But the first thing is Donna got to believe his shoulder's been healed. But in order for him to enjoy that healing, it's got to what? Manifest in that shoulder in this realm. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants. That's what he wants. So release your faith with your words. Release our faith with our words. Let's go to Romans 10:8. Let's go to Romans 10:8. We almost finished with this word. Romans 10:8. And I'm going to read the ESV version, which is almost like the New King James Version. It's not a whole lot of different. But it's more in more modern language. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? And when it says, what does it say? It's talking about the previous verse. What does the word of God say? What does the word of God say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. So where is the word of faith that we need to release so that we can receive our promises and they be fulfilled? The Bible says it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Okay, we need stuff in our hearts. But it's got to be in our mouth too. But if you close your mouth and don't open your mouth, you know, you're not releasing it. You got to open your mouth and release it with words. You got to say, shoulder, be healed, because you are healed. Or you can just say, shoulder, you're healed. You ain't got to say be healed. It's your shoulder. Shoulder, you're healed. You know, body, get up. Body, be well. Leg, keep going. Emotion, calm. Mind, be still. You got to release it with your words. Pain, stop. You know, Romans 10:8 says this, but the faith righteousness we receive speak to us in these words of Moses. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating in your chest and as near as a tongue in your mouth. Release your faith with the words of your mouth. Use your mouth. And we use our mouth. We use our mouth to speak against our faith. We use our mouth to speak against the word of God. We say things that are not in the word. We say things about ourselves that's not in the word. We say things about ourselves that God has not said about us. We say sometimes things about ourselves, what? Just because somebody said that about us, we agree with them instead of agreeing with the word. So release faith with your words that come out of your mouth. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's not just talking about saved, being born again. Saved is delivered, set free, and whole and healed. Saved means a whole lot of things. It means everything that Jesus had accomplished for us. Everything. Romans 10:9 in Passion Translation says this, and what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach, where if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. Publicly. Publicly means somebody hears it besides you. You speak it out of your mouth. I can sit right here and think about something and say it on the inside of me, but y'all don't know what I'm saying. Publicly is when I open up my mouth and say what's on the inside of me. The Bible says Paul and Silas in the prison, and they were in prison in Acts. It said they prayed and sang praises to God. And then it said, and the prisoners heard them. They didn't keep silent. They didn't keep silent. Stop being ashamed to speak forth your faith. The world ain't ashamed to tell us everything they want to say. They say all kinds of stuff. They don't care whether you hear them or not. Used to, they had a little respect. That respect is not like it used to be. So if the world can curse and blaspheme, we are more than able to say, God is a healer. God is blessing me. I'm making it through this. God is working right now. You know, speak it. Say it. Release your faith with your mouth. Release your faith with your mouth. Romans 10:10 says this: with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You know what confess means? One of the meanings for confess means saying the same thing. When you confess something, you're saying the same thing. You're saying the same thing that the Bible says. You're saying the same thing that Jesus said. It's a great thing to say the same thing Jesus said. It might not be a great thing to quote somebody else and what they said. I mean, quoting the president, even quoting what I said if it ain't the word of God. But if you say the same thing that Jesus said, that's a great thing. You're releasing your faith. Every time you say the same thing Jesus said, you're releasing your faith. Every time you confess what the Bible says about you, you're saying the same thing that Jesus said. Every time you say what the Bible says about somebody else, you are saying the same thing Jesus said. You're saying the same thing he said. And when you say that, what? You're releasing faith. You're releasing faith into the atmosphere. It took a long time for Jesus to be born. But what happened, and people don't think about this sometimes, what happened? God gave different prophets a prophetic word about Jesus. The old covenant is full of prophetic words about Jesus, and all of them were fulfilled. But every time somebody spoke the word that God gave them about Jesus, they were what? Releasing the faith that one day Jesus came. The Father was going to send him anyway, but the Father knew what? He knew how to get the prophet to say what he wanted them to say so they could speak Jesus into existence. And God does the same thing with us. He put a word in you. He wants you to speak forth that word, because when you speak forth that word, you give him the authority to come in and fulfill that word. When God gives you a promise and you speak that promise, you're giving God permission to come and fulfill that promise. You're giving him permission to do it. When you say, body be healed, then you're giving God permission to bring healing in that body. I'm going to read the Passion Translation of Romans 10:10. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of the righteousness of God, and then the mouth give thanks to salvation. We got a mouth. Our mouth is for communication. And we're not just supposed to communicate with each other. We are supposed to what? Communicate the things of God. Communicate the promises of God with our mouth. Release our faith with our mouth. Release it. Release it with your mouth. Speak it. Say it. Let 2024 be a year that you release the promises of God by speaking it forth with your mouth, by releasing your faith. We must say the same thing the Bible says. One of the meanings of confess, like I said, is to say the same thing. Stop speaking contrary to what God has said and is saying. Agree with him in everything. Agree with God. Agree with the word of God. Don't agree with what people said. Don't agree with what people told you. Agree with the word of God. What does the word say? What does God promise you? What have God said about you? Read the word of God and agree with him in everything. Release your faith with your mouth. Release your faith with your mouth. I'm determined to do that for 2024. I am determined to release my faith with my mouth by speaking the word of God. By speaking the word of God. I had already started that in 2023. I already had been, the Holy Spirit had let me know that I was saying some things about myself that I shouldn't say. That I should change what I was saying. And I'll tell y'all, y'all know, I'll tell y'all the things I go through. I'm not ashamed to say, to give you my testimony about my spiritual growth. But I was saying things like, I'm sure I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. So one day, a friend of mine, she called me on the phone, and I was said that. She said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm tired." She said, "You always tired. Why you always saying you tired?" And that woke me up. I said, "She right." I didn't disagree with her. I said, "She right. I gotta stop this. I've gotta stop speaking tiredness over my body." And so I stopped. I stopped. I repented and I stopped. And now I don't speak that over my body. I speak health and wellness and strength and blessing over my body, not tiredness. You know, and we and that those are little areas. Somebody said one time it's the little foxes that messing up the vine, destroy the vine. Sometimes it's them little things where we mess it up at. It's not something big. It's them little words and little statements that are coming out of our mouth that we're so used to doing on a daily basis that we don't realize that they are things that are stopping us from releasing our faith. And we got to start watching and changing what we say. Are you speaking in agreement with the word of God? Are you speaking how you feel? Are you speaking what somebody said to you? Are you speaking what it looks like? Stop doing that and start speaking out of your mouth the promises of God. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for those that are here to hear the word of God. God, you're so faithful. You're so faithful. You're faithful. You're faithful. Father God, we thank you, Father God. We try our best to be faithful, God, but you are the faithful one. And so, God, we thank you that it's your faithfulness that's in us that causes us to be faithful. And so, God, this morning we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I ask you to change the words that come out of our mouth. Sometimes we're like an ox, our mouth need to be muzzled to keep stuff from coming out that's not supposed to be coming out because too much junk is coming out. But Lord, change our mouths and what we say and what we speak so that we'll be speaking faith. We'll be speaking your word. We're speaking those things that you're saying. You're not saying a whole lot of stuff that we're saying. Matter of fact, you can't work in what we say if it's not in your word. If you're not in agreement with it, you cannot work with it. So God, help us to say stuff that you can agree with and work with. Change what we're saying about ourselves and over ourselves and about others. Help us speak and see what you're saying. See what you're saying and then speak it. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to do that, Lord. It's okay for us to say the same thing you said. It's okay because your word said that you call those things that be not as though they were. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So God, help us to do that so that we might see promises for 2024 that you want to be fulfilled in this year, be fulfilled. God, we say thank you for every promise you've given us in your word and personally. And God, we thank you. We believe we're going to see those promises that are ordained for 2024. They will be fulfilled this year. Not a promise will be missed. Not a promise will be forfeited for this year. Because we believe in Father God that we're going to speak forth that you have called us to speak forth in this year. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory, give you the praise, and we magnify your name. And we say thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to say this because it came to my mind before, and I was getting ready to end the prayer. But God, I thank you. Let us stop saying we can't and start saying we can. Because you said we could. You said we were overcomers. Yes, and all things are possible in God. So God, help us start saying we can because Jesus did. And we can because you are God. And so, God, we thank you. We give you glory, give you praise, and we magnify your name. And we say thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Are there any prayer requests? Are there any prayer requests? Zoom, do you have any prayer requests? If you do, text them to me because I'm not aware at the computer. Please text it to me if you have a prayer request, and I will wait and see if you have one. Let us not forget that on January 21st, we will not be here because they have rented the place to someone else before they knew we wanted it for every Sunday, except for fifth Sunday in this year. So we will not be here, but we'll be on Zoom. So we hope you will join us on Zoom that Sunday. And Robert Greason will bring the message that Sunday. And we start going to start at the same time, 10:30, but we'll just be on Zoom. If you need to know how to connect to us on Zoom, you can always go to our website, www.kingdomplacenc.com, and you can click on there to join our service. Matter of fact, on the homepage of our website, if you go down to the bottom, see the little computer sign that says Zoom, click there, and you should be able to join our services. That's the only, oh, and our Wednesday night Bible studies, don't forget that. We start at 7 o'clock. We're studying the book of Galatians. You can also connect with us through Zoom for that. And on Monday nights, our prayer and worship time. On our Monday night service, you don't have to say anything or do anything. Matter of fact, on Bible study, if you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. You just can listen. But our Monday night service is just prayer and worship. So for about an hour or maybe a little over sometimes, Robert plays his guitar and sings, and we worship. He worship. We have ourselves on mute, you know, so you can sing along with Robert and worship, you know, if you want to. But we enjoy that. And don't forget our women's meeting also on every third Saturday of the month from 9 to 11. And we are studying on Wednesday night Bible study. We're studying the book of Galatians. On our women's group, we are studying From Chaos to Clarity by Mike Signorelli. And that information is on our website too, or you can call me or Latasha and we will give you that. Amen. Thank you, Robert. There are no prayer requests, so we're going to get ready to close. Let's stand. I want to pray a blessing over you. You can do like that if you want to. Be blessed. Be blessed going out and be blessed coming in. Be blessed lying down and be blessed rising up. Be blessed on the highways and be blessed on your job. Be blessed in your home with your family. May whatever your hands to, you put your hands to, be blessed. May your bank accounts be blessed. May your children and their children be blessed. Be blessed, children of God. Be blessed, children of God. Be blessed in the city. Be blessed in the country. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. I speak blessings over you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. I got to turn this off.